We had our annual conference this weekend, and happened to be in Abilene this year. Allowed me to be here this morning. Dave and Lila Collins were lay delegates, lay representatives for that conference. And if you have been praying for me to stay as your pastor for another year, thank you. And it worked. If you have been praying for me to go, you can stop praying. So we'll be back another year, and we, Cheryl and I and the girls, are really excited about that. We love all of you very much. Y'all are an exceptional church. I tell people that all the time. There's a few names come to mind. I won't name any the men that are, you know, don't fit in there, but that'd be tacky of me to say those names, wouldn't it? I know a few of you are going, he's talking about me. I know he's talking about me. No, you're all special, and we're excited about being here. Matthew 18. Matthew chapter 18, beginning in verse 21. Now, these are the words of Jesus Christ. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to seven times? Jesus answered, I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. The servant fell on his knees before him. Be patient with me, he begged, and I will pay back everything. The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. He grabbed him and began to choke him. Pay back what you owe me, he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, be patient with me, and I will pay you back. But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. You wicked servant, he said. I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you? In anger, his master turned him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother from your heart. Let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Descend upon this place and descend upon us. Speak your truth with power and authority and transform us in Jesus' name. Amen. Continue the series of answering the questions that you guys submitted to me. And you've heard me say that I sent out an email asking for these questions, and I got, you know, a couple back and waited a little while and didn't hear any more. So I sent a second email out and opened the floodgates. And they weren't easy questions. So we continue this series today, Truth Matters. How do I forgive? How do I forgive? And I want to kind of, almost like a subtitle, I want us to think about this. How do I heal the hurts I don't deserve? Did you ever realize that? We have these hurts and these wounds in us. I talked a little bit about this a couple of weeks ago. We have these wounds in us that we don't deserve. Here, I'm going to read just a brief little bit of the actual question that came in. And it says, "Dear Pastor Jeff, I have forgiven someone who hurt me deeply, and I know I have because there is no hurt in my heart anymore for him. I prayed for this to happen, and God answered my prayer. But how do you forgive someone who physically and mentally abused your loved one? Is it just simply saying, 'I forgive you'? When do you really know that you have forgiven someone? How can you get rid of the anger and sometimes hatred for the abuser? How do you keep from wanting revenge on the abuser? How and when do I let it go?'" That question probably resonates with most of us. We have, you know, the one thing that I know about this world is that if we are in it long enough, we're going to be hurt. You know, each of us, we're these flawed human beings. You know, sin is part of the equation in our world, and just as sure as we breathe, we will be hurt. People will disappoint us, and sometimes people that we should be able to trust. Sometimes it's people we don't know, and they're just mean people. But other times, we are wounded by people we should trust, people that know better, people that we should not be wounded by. It's probably been over 15 years ago. Cheryl and I were, as many of us do from time to time, probably looking for ways to make a little extra money, and we ran across this business, and it was really, from looking back on it now that we kind of saw how it turned out, probably should have seen the handwriting on the wall as we were getting into this, that it was a train wreck looking for a place to happen. But it intrigued us. It looked like something that we could actually make a little extra money, and so we got into this business. And there's a name that, when I say this name, it's going to send chills down your spine. Are you ready? Darryl Piercy. Doesn't that just haunt you? It does Cheryl and I, doesn't it, Cheryl? You don't, this man's in another state. There's no reason why you'd ever know this person. That was 15 plus years ago, and that name, still something wells up in Cheryl and I, doesn't it, Cheryl? It wells up in us, stirs us. Darryl Piercy. Long story short, this man, I felt like it was criminal what he did to us. I didn't think it was just like a poor business investment, because I thought it was criminal. I thought this man should be in jail. I really did. To this day, I think he should be in jail. What I thought he did was criminal. And he convinced us to get into this business and invest $35,000. That's still a lot of money, but 15 years ago, it was even more money for Cheryl and I. To invest $35,000 into this business, and I can remember the phone call like it was yesterday, him encouraging us, "Oh, it's going to be great. You're going to make all this money. It's going to be wonderful." And that was kind of the closing conversation that we had as we wired the money to him. And as we were having that conversation, he knew that his business was going bankrupt. And I remember, after all the details, I remember having a conversation with him. I said, "Mr. Piercy, you have put my family at risk. And there's nothing that fires me up as a daddy more than putting my family at risk." There was something there. I was angry. Very angry. I had thoughts flashing through my mind of getting on a plane and flying to this man's home state and introducing myself to him. I had thoughts, nothing extravagant, like, you know, really wild thoughts, but I mean, I wanted to look him in the eye. I wanted him to see that I was a man with a family that he had done this to. Now, many of you have got so much worse things, wounds in your life, things that people have done that this is not a contest of who's been wounded the most, but we each have those people and those situations in our life that we have trouble. We have trouble forgiving. And somehow it's like there's this attachment to this idea of forgiving that if I forgive, I'm letting them off the hook. It's somehow saying that what they did was okay, that I'm justifying what has happened. And we just can't bring ourselves, because we know that in many cases the stuff that they did was so horrendous, so damaging, and so wrong, that we can't bring ourselves to say in our heart, I forgive you. I want us to talk very specifically. This is a tough issue for us. I think so many of us as Christians struggle with this. The first thing that I want us to look at with this idea of forgiveness is that personal forgiveness from God is unmistakably linked to our willingness to forgive others. I love this. I don't love it because it's hard. It's a hard teaching. But it's so, I mean, Jesus doesn't mess around, does he? He doesn't mess around. You know, Peter comes and asks him this question, how many times should I forget these people who've wronged me? Seven times? Up to that many? And I know Peter was thinking, there's a few of them that have done it eight, and I can hold a grudge on them. But Jesus launches into this parable, and he tells about someone who has been forgiven of this great debt, and they're so grateful, they're so thankful. And yet, when someone comes to them with a similar debt, wanting to be forgiven, there's no mercy. There's just condemnation. How many of us that are in Christ have not been forgiven a great debt? Is there any of us among us in Christ? And that's what Jesus is teaching. He's like, you want me to show mercy to you? I expect you to show mercy to your fellow man. Tough teaching. Jesus, even when he taught the disciples how to pray, and we recited this morning, the Lord's Prayer. Listen to this. It says, in our version says trespasses, that in the NIV that I read from, forgive us our debts, our trespasses, as we also have forgiven those who have trespassed against us. See, Jesus is teaching us, it's a 1-2 punch. It's God will forgive you. Now you are to forgive others who have wronged you. There's this past tense to that. As we have also forgiven. Not as we will someday forgive, but as we have forgiven. Forgive us our trespasses as we have already forgiven those who've trespassed against us. That's the teaching that Christ gives us. And you read the text today you heard the text today from the 35th verse. This is how my Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother from your heart. But he goes on in Matthew, he also says, right after he teaches the disciples the Lord's Prayer, he says in Matthew 6, verse 14, for if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. We like that, don't we? I'm liking that verse. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive yours. Hello. Wakes us up. Rattles our cage a little bit, doesn't it? Second thing. Unforgiveness is like an untreated cancer that destroys you. There's an evangelist, he was actually a professor at Fuller Theological Seminary, a man named Lewis Smedes, and I don't know a whole lot about him, but I know he had some great writings on forgiveness. And one of the things that that he said is, to forgive is to set a prisoner free and discover that the prisoner was you. You know, somehow we attach this forgive. If I forgive, I'm letting them, whoever them is, I'm letting them off the hook. No, you're not. You're letting yourself off the hook. You see, with Daryl Piercy, there that name again, while it's still 15 plus years later, it still stirs something in us, the memory of this guy did a bad thing to us. But I can honestly tell you, I don't think about Daryl Piercy. He has not had me in bondage for the last 15 years. His name doesn't come up. I don't think about him. To forgive is to set the prisoner free and discover that the prisoner was you. Unforgiveness is the root of so many struggles in our life. I just don't think that we have any idea. Jesus didn't teach us to forgive because he wanted us to abide by his rules. He taught us to forgive because he knew that unforgiveness would eat us up. And remember John 10:10, one of my favorite. If you'd ever learn another verse from me, learn John 10:10. For the enemy has come to steal, kill, and destroy, but Jesus said, I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. John 10:10. He teaches us to forgive because he wants abundant life for us. He doesn't want us consumed in the bitterness of unforgiveness that will eat us up, destroy us. We have stress. We have all sorts of health problems that can manifest themselves through unforgiveness. Anger. Do you ever find yourself being angry and you don't even know why you're angry? And you're just like, right now I'm just in a bad mood and I really don't know why and I really don't care. I'm just going to punish some people. Next person that walks up to me is going to get it. You ever just felt like that? Perhaps the root is unforgiveness. Depression. Cynicism. Fear. Lack of trust. I know people that someone has wounded them 20, 30 years ago, and it's impacting them. They don't trust anybody. They don't trust anybody. Well, I want to tell you that ultimately the only one we can absolutely trust is God himself. But, man, I also trust some people. I understand. I trust my wife. I understand that she's a person. She's like me. She's flawed. She has her good days and bad days. But I trust her because she's earned my trust, quite frankly. We can't absolutely trust people. But man, what a horrible way to go through life. It's like, I won't go to Sunday school because there's people in Sunday school, and I went to Sunday school 30 years ago, and I shared a prayer concern in Sunday school, and somebody told somebody about that. It was 30 years ago. Forgive them. Get freedom and move on. Look at what you're missing in your life. You're missing the abundant life that Jesus has mapped out for us. Forgive them. Or it will destroy you. There's nothing. This is a video, and if you were on the marriage retreat with Cheryl and I a couple of months ago, I apologize. You're hearing some of this a second time, but because we talked about forgiveness, because it's so important in marriage, because we wound each other. You know, you can't go through 10, 20, 30, 60 years of marriage without having some wounds along the way. So we talked a lot about this, but there's a video clip that I want to show you guys. Short clip. This is a man named Gary Ridgway, and you may have heard about this guy. He was known as the Green River Killer, and he confessed they found him guilty of 71. He was a serial killer. Found him guilty of 71 brutal murders, and it was pushing 100. The actual count was pushing 100. This man had lives he had destroyed. Not just the victims, but the families of the victims. This is a bad dude. And he confessed, to basically to save himself the death penalty, he confessed and he told where different bodies were and details of the crimes and so forth. And it comes, there's this little clip that shows you, it's in the trial, and the families of the victims were able to speak to him before sentence was pronounced. So I want you to watch this for a second.
You know, he'd killed so many people, he didn't remember who they were, what they looked like. I just couldn't believe that somebody could kill all those people and not remember them.
Neither could the angry relatives of his victims, who were invited to speak in court when Ridgway was sentenced to life without parole on December 18th, 2003.
You had said your memory, when it comes to all of the women you took, was gone. Our memory is not. In your words, you said that they didn't mean anything to you, but she meant everything to us.
She was a mother, she was a wife, she was a sister, and we miss her.
Gary Ridgway sat there stone-faced as victims' relatives damned him and mocked him.
He's an animal. I wish for him to have a long, suffering, cruel death.
He's gonna go to hell, and that's where he belongs.
But then the emotionless facade finally cracked when the father of one of his victims appeared to surprise him with a dose of human kindness.
Mr. Ridgway, there are people here that hate you. I'm not one of them. You've made it difficult to live up to what I believe, and it is what God says to do, and that's to forgive. You are forgiven, sir.
Those tears and a statement he made to the court later that day were as close to showing real remorse as Gary Ridgway had ever come.
I'm sorry for killing these ladies. They had their whole lives ahead of themselves. I'm sorry for causing so much pain.
Did you see the contrast? And every family member in that courtroom had every reason in the world to despise this man. If there's ever justification for hatred, I would say these families had it. But did you see the difference between that one lady? I'll never forget. It's almost like her face contorted. It was also like she was possessed with the unforgiveness. It was, as I said, it was eating her up. And she said, "I want you to die." Did you see it? I want you to die a slow, horrible death. Do you think that lady had peace? And then you saw this little man. I call him Santa Claus. He looked kind of like Santa Claus. And did you see in the midst of the deep wound that must have been in this man, did you see the peace that passes understanding in him? It wasn't about releasing this Gary Ridgway of what he had done. It was peace that this man had. So the contrast is you can be eaten up by unforgiveness, or you can have peace. That's why Jesus teaches us that we are to forgive. And finally, the third thing I want us to talk about is the power of forgiveness is perfectly demonstrated by Jesus on the cross. Now, I want to read this whole passage to you because it's important. This, we're setting the scene. Jesus, we know, he was innocent, had done nothing. All he had done is loved his fellow man. He had lived a sinless life, and he had found himself betrayed, deserted, beaten, whipped, and nailed to a cross. And this is the scene. Jesus, in Luke 23, says, Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing. He's hanging on this cross. And they listen to, in the midst of him saying that, listen to what's going on in the scene around him. And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. Can you imagine that is just such a scene of disrespect. The Savior of the world hanging on a cross for on their behalf, and they're casting lots for his clothes. The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, "He saved others, let him save himself if he is the Christ of God, the chosen one." The soldiers also came up and mocked him. They offered him wine vinegar and said, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." There was a written notice above him which read, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. "Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us." This scene is going on around the crucified Christ, and his response is, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." Quite a challenge for us, isn't it, church? I know as I'm talking this morning, I know the Holy Spirit is bringing up names in you. He's bringing up names in you. He's bringing up circumstances. And I'd be willing to bet that most of those things are absolutely, you have every right to be so angry, so hurt, and so unforgiving. But Jesus isn't teaching us about what's right and just. He's teaching us how to have abundant life. He's teaching us we can be a slave to this, to the bitterness and the anger and the unforgiveness that will eat us up, or we can be whole. We can have peace. We can have joy returned in our life. Don't you want joy in your life? Don't you want peace in your life? We don't want to wallow in our wound. And Jesus doesn't want us to wallow in our wound. He has set the example for us while hanging on a cross. I want to skip forward here. How do I forget? That was part of the question that I read to start off the sermon that this person was asking. How do I forgive? Well, Cheryl hates this analogy, but I'm going to use it anyway. This wound, you knew it was coming, didn't you, Cheryl? She hates it. We can have a wound, and if you have a wound that it's not had attention, And I used to play softball, as you know, and you know, you slide and you have these strawberries and this thing, and you just scrape all the hide off, and you have this wound in it, and it'll scab over, but if it's not clean, if it's not had some healing attention to it, then it gets infected. And what we do is it may look like it's healing, it kind of has a scab on it, and it kind of looks like it has the illusion that it's healing, but there's an infection underneath. And what has to happen is the wound you have to scrape the wound clean. You have to pull that infected covering off, and you have to clean the wound. And that's painful. It's painful. Wound cleaning. But we can deny that the wound exists. I ain't got no wound. I'm cool. I'm good. I ain't got anybody to forgive. But every time we bump the wound, we're reminded, no, you do have a wound. Another way to respond to the wound is we can get revenge. Sometimes we think, well, if I'm going to be wounded, by golly, you're going to be wounded too. So this act of getting revenge is a way of dealing with wounds. So we can deny they exist, we can just get revenge, or we can seek healing and let it go. the people of Panama, and you've probably heard me, or you may have heard me use this before, but it's such a great illustration. The people of Panama, it's kind of a weird deal for us, but they monkeys are a part of their diet, wild monkeys in the Panamanian jungle. And the way they catch these monkeys is ingenious. They hollow out a gourd, and they know precisely the size of the hole that must be in the gourd, and they hollow it out, and they secure the gourd to the ground. And they put nuts and fruit in the gourd, and they get back in the bushes with clubs, and they wait. And the unsuspecting monkeys, they come, and they reach their hand in. The hole has been precisely cut to a certain size that the hand can go in, and they grab a handful of the food, and they clench their fist, and they try to draw it out. And now the fist is expanded with the food, and they try to draw it out of the gourd, and they're stuck. And they begin to scream and squeal because they've been stuck, and the Panamanians waiting in the bushes. They hear the screaming, and they come, and you know the rest of the story. Death is the result for the monkey. The only cure for the wounds that we have is forgiveness. And how do we do it? We let go. If the monkeys would just let go of what's trapping them, they would pull their hand out and they would run to freedom. They would run, if you will, to abundant life in the forest. But they hold on to the very thing that will bring death. We must let it go. Let it go. Let it go. The last thing on your notes there. Who do you need to forgive? You may need another sheet of paper. That's okay. Who do you need to forgive? You might not want to fill that in now. You might want to fill it in later. But the next question, who wins if you forgive? Anybody know who wins if you forgive? You win. Not the person you're forgiving. They don't win. Because there's people that are already dead and gone that may be on your list. So it's not a matter of if they would just ask me to forgive them. No. This is about you. This is about freedom for you. It has nothing to do with if they're sorry or if they apologize or any. It has nothing to do with them. It has everything to do with you. Who wins if you forgive? You win. Who loses if you don't? Not him. Not her. You lose. If you would close your eyes and bow your heads. I want you... Symbolically, I want you with your hands in your lap, I want you to clutch your fist. Just set your hands in your lap and just clasp your hands together. And I want you to see in your mind, I want you to see in those clenched fists the people and the circumstances of the people who've hurt you. Keep them clenched. I want you to see those people. I want you to see that those clenched fists produce death in us. Now I want you to open your fist and just lay them right there in your lap and let it go. And if you just ask God to give you the strength to let it go. Let it go. Father, I pray abundant life on these open hands now. People who have symbolically released to you these hurts and these wounds and this unforgiveness in their heart. I pray, God, that you would replace the bitterness and the struggle and the wound with wholeness and peace and joy, fruit of your Spirit. Would you just fill them, God? Fill them up. Give them a renewed peace that they've never known, perhaps. As David prayed, restore to them the joy of your salvation. In the strong name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. If you would stand as we close this morning.
Thanks to the Lord, our God and King, His love endures forever.
Forever God is strong.
only cure for our wounds is forgiveness. And the only way to forgive is through the love of Jesus. We are forgiven people. Let us go and forgive. Go and tell someone. We are dismissed. God bless you.
Sing praise.